We need to understand how great our God is. A lot of times we magnify our problems and diminish our Lord. Well, folks, that's not the way to do it. They got the children of Israel in trouble. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw their God as incapable. When God said, I want you to go in and take the promised land, they said, we're not able. Well, they didn't have faith in their God. Their God was great enough that he gave them cities they did not build, vineyards they did not plant, houses they did not construct, gave all of that to them. All they had to do was go believe in him and his greatness and his majesty. And it's the same for us today. Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians is referred to many times and most often as the love chapter. But my question today is, what is love? You would be amazed, or maybe you wouldn't be amazed or surprised, but most people do not know what love is, including most Christians. Now, you hear stuff like, we just fell in love. Well, that sounded like you were walking down the street and fell in the manhole. You just couldn't help it. That's not love. And love, we'll get into that more here in a second, but love is not a manhole. It's not a ditch that you just fall into and you can't help it. You're just walking along there blindly and there's the ditch of love and you fall in. No, that's not the way that happens. You hear people say things like, I love my car, I love my cat, I love my phone, I love my house. Well, those are all incorrect statements, as we're going to see here in just a little while. We hear things like, I used to love him, or I used to love her. Well, that's not an accurate statement either. And we're going to be looking at that. So we really don't know what love is. And so today we're going to be looking at it in depth, so that we will know what love is, and so we will know how we are supposed to act and respond and what we're supposed to do concerning love. We use the word love a lot, but our use of it is rather confusing. Very confusing, in fact. And the reason that our use of it is confusing is that we have the wrong concept of love. Now, I can just imagine most of you are sitting there going, I know what love is. Well, folks, if we knew what love is, we would be acting differently. We would be living differently. You know, we fall into love and out of love so fast, it'll make your head spin. Especially, I get tickled at teenagers. Well, I loved them yesterday, but not today. And we look at them and say, well, how ridiculous. Well, we as adults do the same thing. We're just not as vocal and as verbal with it either, okay? But let me share this with you starting right off the top. Love is a decision. Love is a decision. It might cause an emotion, but love is not primarily an emotion. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. I've never heard that before. Well, you heard it now. And I'm going to be going into this a little bit more later, but let me give you a quick illustration. The Bible says to love your enemies. You're going to have to make a decision to love your enemies. There's never going to be emotion swell up inside of you and say, oh, I just love that person I don't like with all of my heart. No, that's never going to happen. You have to make a decision to love, whether it's your enemy, whether it's your newborn child. I don't care who it is. You have to decide to love someone. So love is a decision, and that's crucial in this discussion of love. We use the word love so loosely that it makes the word seem shallow and empty. But folks, love is one of the most powerful forces on the face of this earth. When we really know what love is, it is a powerful force. In one breath, we say, I love God. And that's a good statement. And God responds to that. But in the next breath, we say, I love my car, or I love my house, or I love my horse, or I love my phone, or whatever it is. And that is a completely wrong statement. And again, I'm going to show you why here in just a little while. But statements like that, made from a wrong concept of love, is why the word love has such a shallow meaning. Don't ever put your attitude toward God on the same level as your attitude toward your cat. If you say, I love God, that's great. But when you say, I love God and I love my cat, folks, you just brought God down to the cat level. That's not what love is. That is not at all what love is. You may really like your car, and you may really like your house. You may enjoy your cat. You may enjoy your dog. You may enjoy your phone or whatever it is. But you must, your love should be, and your love must be directed to those who can respond to your love. And you say, oh, but my cat does. No, your cat doesn't. Your cat responds to being petted. Your car certainly doesn't. We've got to learn to direct our love toward those that can respond. Of course, that's God, our family, our wife, our husband, our kids, our neighbors, even our enemies can respond to love. So with a proper perspective of love, we have to direct it to those that can respond. The Bible tells us that God is love. Now, we're going to look at that here in just a little while in great detail, but we need to understand that God doesn't just love, God is love. It also says that I am to love God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength, and all of my mind. We're going to look at that a little bit more later. It tells me to love myself, my neighbors, and my enemy. So this subject of love is very important. It's something that we have to have a proper understanding of. And one of the things that really hinders us from understanding it in the English language is we only have one word for love. Now, in the Greek, there were several words. There was the word eros. The word eros describes a physical love, a sexual love. We're not going to be talking about that one today in detail, but we need to understand that that is in there. There's also a word, phileo. That describes a brotherly type love. That's also very important. That's in the Bible. But the word we're going to look at today is the word over in 1 John chapter 4 where it says that God is love. The reason we're going to be looking at that is that's the most widely used word. That's the word when the Bible says that God so loved the world. That's the same word. When you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says charity. That's the same word as God is love. So that's the word we're going to be looking at today, and that word is agape. And I'm sure you've heard of that term agape before, but do we really understand and comprehend what agape is? I don't think we do. Let me give you a definition of agape, and listen to this closely, because at the beginning, I asked you, what is love? I'm getting ready to tell you what love is. Here's the definition of it. Agape love is an unselfish love that has a concern for the well-being of another. It is completely unconditional and self-sacrificing. Boy, can you see why love is so important? Why it's so powerful? Let me repeat that. Agape is an unselfish love that has a concern for the well-being of another. It is completely unconditional, meaning it doesn't matter what the other person does or doesn't do, and it's self-sacrificing. Now, as we get into 1 Corinthians here, one of the things that Paul says is he describes love as a more excellent way. He goes on to say that it will never fail, that it is able to endure all things, and that it is even greater than faith or hope. Folks, this subject of love is vitally important to us as Christians. The agape love is really important, so we need to be careful to never cheapen it by using it incorrectly. And again, how do we use it incorrectly? By saying, I love God and I love my cat. I love God, I love my house. I love God, I love my car. You just cheapened agape. You just completely destroyed the meaning of agape. And some of you are going to say, well, you're nitpicking. Well, folks, this is an area we need to nitpick. We need to understand what love really is. And we need to have a proper perspective of love, and it will change the way we look at God, and it will change the way that we look at other things. We need to understand there is a difference. And yes, there are areas like this that we've got to get really picky. Really picky, and watch what we say and watch what we do. We need to never put our feelings for God and some inanimate object on the same level. I think the Apostle John knew that we would have a hard time comprehending agape love. In John chapter 3, verse 16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John tried to emphasize how great this agape love is by saying that God so loved the world. Now, we need to understand, God does not love on degrees. And we talked about this the other night, I think on a Wednesday night. We as humans do love on degrees. I love Diana to a different degree than I love the folks in this church. That makes sense, doesn't it? We all love on different degrees, but God does not love on different degrees. God is love. God is love. It's hard for us to imagine, but God loves the worst, cruelest, meanest, vilest person in the world as much as he loves you and me. Because he is love. The Bible tells us that we are to agape God. In other words, we are to love God unselfishly with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And we are to agape our neighbor as ourselves. In fact, it goes on and says that these are the two greatest commandments. Put it as plainly as I can, folks. We are to love all people and nothing else. That's going to be a change of heart for a lot of us, because a lot of us, we think we're so in love with our animals or our house or our car or all these other different things. We're not. If we are, we've got a completely wrong concept of love. But we are to love people and nothing else, and we can love anybody and everybody, because over in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost has shed the love of God, or the unconditional love of God, in our hearts. The Holy Ghost has spread that love abroad in our hearts. In other words, he's come in and he's just spread it all over our hearts to give us the ability to love other people. Now, let me take this a step further on how we're supposed to love. And folks, what I'm getting ready to share with you took me a long time to grasp it, and I'm not sure that I still really have a full grasp on this. I understand it, but it's a stretch for me, okay? The love that we as Jesus' disciples have for others is to be just as complete as God's love is for other people. Over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, God tells us to be perfect in love just as he is perfect in love. Can you see why that's a stretch for me? God asked me to love just like he loved. And how does he love? Well, the Bible tells us over in Romans chapter 5 that he loved us while we were yet sinners. He loved us while we were yet his arch enemies. God said we need to love everybody with agape love and just love them with all of our heart. Now, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but let me say this again. Christian love is not simply an emotion which arises because of the character of the one being loved. I'm going to say that again because that needs to sink in. Christian love is not simply an emotion which arises because of the character of the one being loved. The source of our love comes from God. God first loved us. God lives in us. The Holy Spirit has spread the love of God in our heart. Then and only then can we love others the way God wants us to. Now let me make this clear. Our loving other people has nothing to do with them. Has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with our relationship with God. Has everything to do with our relationship with God. And there are certainly people that I could not love if I did not first understand that God first loved me even when I was unlovable. Now let me also clear up one misconception here. A lot of times people say, well, I just can't love that person. They're so vile, they're so evil, they're so wicked. We just have nothing in common, whatever it is. I didn't say you had to like them. There's going to be people you do not like. If you like everybody in the world, you're either the perfect human or I'm missing something, because there's people I don't like, there's people that don't like me. We're not talking about liking people. We're talking about loving people. And a lot of times we have the misconception that you've got to like somebody to love them. I said it earlier, but let me say it again. That's not true. You decide to love those people. Just like our enemies. We are to pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully use us. I don't like the people that despitefully use me. But I'm commanded to love them. And I hope you can get the difference there, because there's a big difference there. But because God first loved us, and because the Holy Ghost has shed abroad that love in our heart, then we are able to love everybody else, even our enemies. And again, it has nothing to do with them, and it has everything to do with our relationship with God. When we see the overall importance of love, then we understand more about what the Bible is talking about. Just like, for instance, the dialogue between Peter and Jesus. When Jesus came to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And we could get into a long discussion. They use some different words there. But for our discussion today, it's going to work just fine, just using the word love. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And when Peter responded all three times, Jesus said, well, if you love me, feed my sheep. Now, folks, we need to get a hold of that. Our love for Jesus is very closely related to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. If we love Jesus, then we are going to feed His sheep. We are going to be about His business. We are going to be feeding the sheep and winning the lost if we love Him. To show you how that works, agape is a love that is more concerned about making the object of love feel loved than it is about making the lover feel loved. And again, that's a struggle for us. I'm not going to say any of us have this down perfectly, but this is what God is expecting of us. He is expecting us to make the object of our love feel loved more than us feeling loved ourselves. The agape love means that the lover is willing to make sacrifices to make the object of love feel loved. And again, God has set the example for us here. When the Bible says that God is agape, that when God is love, it means that God doesn't love us with just a shallow type of love, but that He loves us with a sacrificing type of love. Let me prove that to you. Agape, the self-sacrificing love, is what put Jesus on the cross for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were good, righteous people. While we were yet sinners. While we were the slum of the earth. Jesus died for us because of agape. Because of that unconditional love. Now, everything that we've covered up to this point is leading us to 1 Corinthians. If we don't really understand love, and if we don't really understand agape, and that it is unconditional, and that it is self-sacrificing, and that it is just loving like God loved, then we're really not going to understand 1 Corinthians 13 like we need to. If we want to see how love is acted out, then 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the place to go. Actually, what Paul is saying is, this is how agape acts. This is how love behaves. So we're going to take just a few of these verses and just briefly look at this and use it in a very practical way. You know, a lot of times we read over something like 1 Corinthians 13, we say, oh, that is such a good philosophy. That would be so good. Well, folks, it's not meant to be a philosophy. It's meant to be practical, everyday Christian living. In fact, at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, Paul said, if I don't have love, it doesn't really matter what else I do. It's useless. It doesn't profit anything. But with agape, it makes a big difference. In verse 4, Paul says that love is patient. In other words, if we have love, then we're going to be patient with each other. We're going to not come down on somebody because they haven't done something just like we want them to. We're going to work with them and be patient with them and treat them patiently, the same way God does us. We are certainly not perfect. And when I say we, I'm including me and every one of you. And if God gave us what we deserved, He'd fry us. Folks, we treat God so poorly. And we are so lax in serving Him and in reading His Word and everything He tells us to, but He's patient with us. We need to also be patient with one another. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul also says love is kind. If we're kind to somebody, then we cannot say something unkind to them because they are the object of our love. Now again, I need to clarify something here. Don't mistake truth for unkindness. If I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. But that doesn't mean I'm unkind. Unkind, make sure that people know that we love them. No matter if it's our friends, our foes, or enemies, that we speak words to them that are kind. And I know you've all heard the phrase, if you can't say something kind, don't say something at all. And even that will get you in trouble. But that's better than saying something unkind, okay? He also says that love will not envy. In other words, love won't be jealous of somebody else. If you have something, if God has blessed you with something, I need to be grateful that God has blessed you with that, knowing that God will meet my needs as well. But don't be jealous and don't be envious of what other people have, because love won't do that. Love is not rude. I will not crowd before you in line if I'm loving you. If we get to the door at the same time, I will open the door for you if I love you. I will not speak rude words to you because you are the object of my love. And again, this isn't just our friends and family. This is anybody. Agape is not easily angered. Now, let me again qualify this. There are times we need to get angry. There are times we need to get very angry. When Jesus went to the temple, He cast out the money changers. He was angry. But the Bible teaches us to be angry and sin not. There's a proper way to be angry. Anger, temper tantrums, aren't godly. They do not show love. They show immaturity. The best way I can tell you this is if somebody's done you wrong, don't keep a list of the wrongs they've done you. Folks, we've got to move past that and love them. And no matter what happened, just reinstate that love back in there and go on and not be easily angered. And if we do get angry in the right manner. Love does not delight in evil. Now, I've told you guys many times, this is an area that I've really had to work on. If somebody does me wrong, I want to get in the flesh and just get them. I mean, that's vengeance, I know God says it's His, but I think He stole it from me. But when somebody does us wrong, and something evil happens to them, first thing we want to do is say, well, they're getting what they deserve. Well, that's not right. The Bible says that love does not delight in evil. Even if it's somebody we don't like, we need to make sure that our heart goes out to them and that we don't feel glad that something bad happened to them. Because love loves them unconditionally. And love would never rejoice in evil. And love always hopes. Now, I like this one. Love always hopes. Love never gives up on people. I'm not near what I should be, but folks, because some people didn't give up on me, I'm a whole lot better than I was. I'm a whole lot better than I was. Growing up, I think back on the struggles my mom and dad had with me, and some of my friends had with me, and some of my mentors had with me. I'm like, those were some of the best people in the world. I needed them to not give up on me. And we need not to give up on other people. We need to always hope that good will triumph and that good will be victorious. And love never fails. Let me tell you another way of putting that. Love always perseveres. Love always perseveres. Love keeps on loving. God keeps on loving us, no matter what we do. God keeps on loving us. We need to keep on persevering in our love. Like I said at the beginning, most people have no idea what real love is. Even most Christians. And folks, I hope you start paying attention to the words you speak. If you hear the words coming out of your mouth, I love my house, I love my car, I love my cat, I love my dog, you know, whatever it is, if it's not a human being, we need to stop that and redirect it. Because like I said, if you put the love you have for God or even the love that you have for another person on the same level with an inanimate object, something's wrong. We've got the wrong concept of love. I'm going to ask Marlene and Bill if they would to come as I make a closing statement here. If you remember, I read at the very beginning of this message over in 1 John where it says that God is love. If we reread that with the definition that we've given to agape, I say that we've given that the definition that is, you would say that God is unconditional and self-sacrificing love. The best way to truly to learn how to love is to get to know God, who is love, more intimately. We all need more love. We all need to grow in our love. The Bible tells us, like I said earlier, to be perfect or mature or complete in love. And not a one of us here can say we are. But that's what we need to be striving for. And if God didn't think we could do it, He would have never told us to do it. And I've heard of stories of people. I heard a story of a lady the other day, a missionary lady. This tribe over in, I believe it was Africa, completely, totally annihilated her entire family. She went back to that tribe to minister to them. And the chief asked her, said, how could you ever come back here? She said, because I love you. He said, after what we've done, she said, what you've done has nothing to do with the fact that I love you. She was able to stay there and able to minister to those people. Folks, that takes love. That takes agape. You cannot go into a situation like that unless you have the agape type love. We can reach more people if we have the agape love that God has instructed us to have. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you. I thank you so much that you have given us very specific instructions about love and how we are to love. And you've given us the perfect example. Not only have you shown us what true love is, but Father, you sent your Son here to live out love in front of us. And God, I just pray today that you would help us to get a correct concept of love and that we would understand that we don't need to be saying we love inanimate objects, but we need to be focusing our love upon you and upon other people, and that love needs to be unconditional and even self-sacrificing. Father, as you've spoken to hearts today, I just pray that you'd give them the courage to bring their needs before you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.